Welcome to the Adventist Music Podcast. This is a show that shares the stories of Seventh-day Adventist musicians from around the world. I'm your host, Khan Elmers. Today, I've got a very special guest, Keith Kirk. We're going to discuss ways for musicians and churches to support Adventist musicians, like how to set up your music business. You don't want to miss it. Keith is based in London in the UK. He specializes in music metadata management and administration. He is the owner of Code Group Music, which helps artists structure their entire music business. You can follow him on Instagram and learn more about Code Group Music on their website. And I'll put those links in the description for you below to check out. Make sure to follow Adventist Music on Instagram and share the podcast with a friend. Also, consider giving a donation today and partner with me in supporting Adventist musicians from around the world. Thanks for your support. Now for today's episode with Keith. Keith, can you share with us who you are and where you're from?
I am Seventh-day Adventist music business professional based in London. I grew up in Trinidad and Tobago. It's the home of my mom and my family. I grew up on an Adventist campus called Caribbean Union College, which is now University of the Southern Caribbean. And it was a very, very musical environment. I mean, choirs, groups, quartets, trios. We even had a band. We had a drum corps, lots of pianists, singers. I mean, it was just a campus full of music, and I just got into it. As soon as I landed on the campus, I got into music really quickly because there was so much music around me. Literally, all my friends were either playing an instrument or singing or in a group, and I was like, I want to be part of that. That's where I kind of honed my skills as a musician, and it's an environment that really built my confidence and, you know, just kind of made me who I am today, really. I owe a lot to CUC/USE. And it's kind of started for me.
So you said that you honed your skills as a musician at the university there. Why don't you take us back to the university and tell us more?
Yeah, so as I said, I don't know what it was about that campus. Based in the Caribbean, so we had a lot of people from around the Caribbean coming to that university, from Jamaica, St. Lucia, Barbados, Dominica, Grenada. Everybody from the Caribbean generally would come to CUC, right? And then we had people from England and from the US and from different parts of the world coming to CUC, from Africa, all over. They all brought their musical gifts to the campus. And they were, at that point, this is like between 1990 and 1999, that period that I was there. And there was just so many groups and quartets starting up here and trios starting up here and singers everywhere. It was just a rich heritage of and culture of music. So, you know, when you grow up in that kind of environment, you naturally learn things, not knowing that you're learning while you're doing, you know, because we were always in rehearsal preparing for a program.
Is there like a memorable experience that you had there that inspired you to get into the music industry?
I won't say the music industry, because at that point, it was more about performance, right? It was more the creative performance side. I knew nothing about the music industry then. That happened when I came back to London and I started working at Universal Music. But my time at CUC was just about performance and being the best I can be, because like everybody was so good. I particularly remember a gentleman called Conrad Roach. His entire family was just musical. But him specifically, which he just had this talent, and I mean, he could play every single instrument. And then next thing I'm seeing, he's directing a choir. He was just phenomenal, a phenomenal guy. Yeah, so I wanted to be like them, and I wanted to be like everybody else. And I wanted to be able to play an instrument and sing and do all these things. I had the natural talent, but when I got there, I was like, whoa, what is this? What's going on here? Everybody's just doing this thing. that it just cultivated that side, the creative performing side. It's only until I left there, that's when I kind of moved into the business side of things, because I was like, okay, well, this, everybody's singing and I'm playing an instrument. And while at Universal, I was seeing how they were enabling musicians to thrive in their music.
Can I just stop you there? I would love to know how you actually ended up going to Universal as well. Can you share with us how you ended up going there?
Yes. So I got a call to work with a company called PPL, which is the Phonographic Performance Limited. They are in charge of paying royalties to labels and performers, right? So I started working there. 4 weeks in, I get this message on LinkedIn from Universal. They're like, hey, we'd like to see you. You know, we'd like to. I was like, what? Universal? Mm-hmm. Go down to Universal. Everybody's left. It's in the evening. They're just talking about this job and what it is. I wasn't hearing anything. All I know is like, yo, I have an opportunity to work at Universal Music, the biggest music company in the world. I wasn't hearing anything they were saying. I was just like, yes, whatever it is, yes, I'll do it. And got in there, worked there for about 2 years, and I was one of two metadata analysts. Essentially, every morning we would get a download of all the releases around the globe, and we will have to basically quality check those releases, quality check the metadata before it's sent to iTunes. Because iTunes has a very, very strict rules and regulations about how data and metadata appears on their platform, right? So when you go to Apple Music and iTunes and you see them, all the music and the information there, it's there in a specific way. And if you don't deliver it in that specific way, they will reject it. Me and my colleague, we were one of two metadata analysts that would quality check Universal's global catalog that's being delivered to iTunes and Spotify and all the DSPs to make sure that it's in the correct format to be sent through to iTunes.
So how long did you end up working there for?
I was there for about just under 2 years.
2 years, okay.
And that's when I discovered, I was like, wait a minute, I wonder if my colleagues and friends are people that I know who are in music know about this stuff. So I started asking these questions like, hey, do you know about metadata? And everybody was like, what? What's metadata? What's that? And I was like, I see an opportunity here. I see a niche here. And then I started really studying myself about metadata, getting more into it. Here I am today, like, just one, people call me the metadata guru sometimes. I've been given that name. I mean, it's just really because most people don't know about it, and I just know a little bit more about it. I won't say I'm a guru. A lot more people are talking about metadata now, and there are a lot more
awareness.
You know, awareness mm-hmm. of metadata in space. It's still very on a very small scale, but there's a lot more awareness than when I started, right? So that's a good thing.
Is that awareness in which space are you talking about? In general?
In the music business, most people have no clue about what I would say about, yeah, a large percentage of people in the industry, in the music business, don't really know what metadata is and how important it is.
Interesting.
It's the most important thing. Because you can do really well with your song and your song is streaming everywhere and blowing up and making money, but if that metadata is not in place, you probably won't see a lot of that money.
Oh, I see. Okay. And I understand that you've started a business, right? Code Group Music. How did you transition into creating this organization?
Good question. You know, I was working with people kind of more freelance, just, you know, people found out about me and what I was doing, and I was just kind of doing it as a freelance. And I was like, it got to the point where I felt I needed to structure it as a business, right? So I had another business before Code Group Music. So Core Group Music is a new entity that I started. So I reformed it with some partners of mine in the UK. My partner Fabian Thorpe, a great businessman, you know, he's been in business for a long time. Essentially, well, here's the story. We went to a conference in Holland. Lots of young people. We didn't know, we've known each other for like forever, right? I didn't know who was going to be at this conference. He didn't know I was going to be there. We met at the conference. He was doing presentations on business. I was doing presentations on metadata. And, you know, because we were both presenting at the same time, we can see each other's presentations. And then one evening, we were able to come together. He came to mine, or I think I went to his. And then after, he was like, Keith, why don't we start a music label? And I was like, you want to do that? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. Sure, let's do it. And that's how Code Group Music was born, you know, because there was so many young people there. All of them were into music and singers, and there was this group there and all that kind of stuff. So it was just a natural thing for us to kind of create this entity, and God has been really blessing it so far.
And you said that you've recently signed a working relationship with CSAC Music Group, one of the big three PROs in the US. What's the job of a PRO?
So the job of a PRO, which is short for Performing Rights Organization, is to administer the public performance rights of your work. So let's say, Khan, you write a song, right? Remember, generally, when you write a song down on a piece of paper, it's automatically in copyright. You don't have to take it anywhere to get it copyrighted or anything. Once you've written that song down physically or recorded it on like a CD or recorded it into your phone, that song is automatically in copyright. It's automatically protected. However, let's say something happens and somebody hears your song and takes your song and uses it, you would need to be registered with a performing rights organization who is administering and protecting administering your rights on your behalf. So you register your song with that performing rights organization, and when your song plays on the radio, on TV, if you go to the mall and you hear your song playing, they are in charge of issuing licenses to those different entities. And from that license that those entities pay, you get a royalty. So these are called public performance royalties. And a performance means like if you're in a barbershop and you hear your song playing on the radio, that's a public performance, which you will get a royalty for. Or if you're in a mall and you're walking and you're shopping and your song is playing in the mall, that's a public performance. If you go to a concert hall or you go to a fete or a carnival and your song is playing out in the open in the performance or in a park, that's a public performance, which your song generates a royalty from the license. Because even the park that you're walking in, if music is playing in that park is responsible for having a license from the PRO to use music in the park. That's how you get a royalty. Next time you're out and about and you hear music anywhere, or you see music playing anywhere or whatever, just think, oh, I wonder if they have a license, a PRO license, right? Because that's how you get paid a royalty.
Can you explain like what your relationship is like with CSAC?
Okay, so CSAC is a PRO, a performing rights. They're one of the big three. In America, you have ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. CSAC is one of the big three. But they have now also just moved into music services. So they're not just a PRO, they're a music services company, which means that they offer a suite of services to artists like distribution, publishing administration, YouTube monetization, global administration, et cetera, so they're doing a lot of things for artists, right? Code Group Music has sort of partnered with them, a working relationship with them, which kind of we can plug into their systems to offer global publishing administration and digital distribution to our clients, right? Because on our own, we won't have that global reach. But through CSAC, we now have that global reach to offer our clients, you know, the professional services that they need.
Gotcha. Can you tell us a bit more about your clients and take me back to some of their projects that you've worked on so far? And just if you can outline which musicians you've helped and which one do you consider to be your favorite?
I've worked with so many, and we don't only work with Seventh-day Adventist musicians, we work with secular musicians as well. But the one that I should say that is my favorite, and I'm a little bit biased because I grew up with some of the people in this group, is a group called Clay from Maryland. They've been around for a long time. They had an extremely talented group, and I worked with them to release their debut project. And I think that was probably my favorite project because they're one of those groups that we've been waiting for them to release music because they're so good and their music is so good.
Can you tell me like how you've helped Clay? Like, take us to the process that you've helped them.
With Clay especially, it was more about, okay, they've got this album, they're working on this album, it's been recorded, it's been mixed, it's been mastered. What do we do now? In order for it to get released digitally, I need four things to get this song out to the marketplace at the bare minimum. I need the cover art, the ISRC code, which stands for International Standard Recording Code. Why did I forget that? That's a code that tracks and recognizes the recording. I need the UPC code, which stands for Universal Product Code. That's the code that tracks the product. And I need the lyrics. Those are the four basic pillars that I need to release a song to the market. I also need all the contributor information. What is contributor? That's who produced it, who mixed it, who mastered, who sang background vocals, who played bass, who played the piano, who played the drums, their names. I need all of their names because you want to always have the contributor information there because contributors also get a royalty. If you play drums on someone's album, you can also get a royalty as a drummer. It's called a non-featured artist performance royalty. So everybody on the project is in line to get some kind of payment in the music business. It's not just the main artist. It's the musicians, it's the background vocalists also get a royalty, right? So non-featured performance royalty. So I gather all of that together. I put it down on a spreadsheet, make sure everything's right, and then I upload it to a distributor. Upload all that information, check it through, then send all that information through. Oh, I forgot that I need the MP3 or the WAV file. You also need the WAV file, obviously, of the music, right? Preferably the WAV file, the mastered WAV file of all the songs. And I name the WAV files and all that kind of stuff. I push it through to the distributor, and then the distributor goes, they do their checks, and if everything's okay, they send it through to the DSPs, the digital service providers like Spotify, Apple Music, etc.
You collect all that information from the artist, packaged it together for them to begin to distribute to the wherever you listen to music.
Wherever you listen to music, over 200 DSPs. And mind you, Code Grip Music, we are now a distributor. So we don't need to go to a third party. We can distribute ourselves.
So you can go straight to Apple.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah. We have our own system. Yep.
Do you want to explore some more about what you guys are doing?
Yeah, so we really want to boost not just how much music is going out there from our Adventist music community, but we want to encourage the Adventist music community to actually start writing more music because we're not writing. You know, we hear a song and we begin to sing it. And sometimes, unfortunately, some of these songs, we don't really agree with the theology, right? So it's really important that we really start to write music out there. And core group music was set up to that. If you've written a song, we can attach you to a producer who can help you to structure that song, make it nice, put the strings and the drums and the piano and the voices. We can help you do all that. And we can help you get that song to the DSPs like Spotify and Apple Music, because we can do all of that in the back end. But not only do that, we help you with your back end. So we help you register your song with a PRO, register your song with all the agencies that protect and distribute the rights that your song, or the royalties that your song generates. There are many rights in a song, many, right? But there are different organizations that distribute different types of royalties. One song, and I want your audience to understand, this is gonna blow your mind. One song can generate up to 900,000 individual revenue streams.
Wow. That is a lot.
One song. A lot, right? So you have different organizations that handle different types of royalties, but you have to be, your song has to be signed up with those organizations in order for those organizations to collect that royalty and pay you out. So we help with all that. I know it, even me saying it sounds confusing, right? But we handle all of that in the back end. We do all of that. So we do, if you've written a song, we help you connect you to a producer who can help you really formalize the song and get it sounding nice and everything. We help you register with all the agencies globally, because we are a publishing administrator, and I can talk about what a publishing administrator is, right? And then we help you get your song to the DSPs, the Spotify and Apple Music. Now, here's the thing. The music business, the streaming services aren't really paying that well, right? You need 1,000 streams, I think, to get $250 or something like that, or 10,000 streams. Is you have to stream a lot to kind of generate money. So we've partnered with an organization, and the industry is changing right now. Believe it or not, the industry is going back to physical product, i.e. vinyl and CD. Yep.
That's interesting.
They're going back to vinyl and CD. So we've partnered with an organization that we can set up your vinyl and CD online. Once we set it up, we send a link. You send that link to your supporters, and they can go to that link and they can actually purchase your vinyl and CD, and that organization will ship it to wherever they are. So what I'm saying is that as well as sending your song to streaming services, you can also do physical product, because you will get that money straight away in your hand.
So what you're saying is that there's multiple sources of income, not just streaming.
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%.
That is great, man. It makes me think mm-hmm. that there are a lot of opportunities for Adventist musicians right now, and yeah. And it's groups like yours who are really helping the church to see those opportunities, yeah. and to capitalize on their ministry, because ultimately, yeah. we want them to be successful. We want them to be able to make a living off of their ministry and to yeah. survive, right?
We would love to work with the church in some way. I don't know what that would look like, but if your church has a budding musician or worship leader, so like what a lot of the other denominations do, if their church has a worship leader, it is understood that that worship leader will eventually do an album. Sometimes the church would actually fund that project, and maybe some of the proceeds from that project will go back into the church or whatever, right? The music business and music in general is just a very expensive endeavor, however you look at it. If you're buying a piano, it's expensive. If you're taking piano lessons, it's expensive. If you're an artist, It's expensive. It's just a very expensive endeavor, and it takes capital to make it thrive and to make it something valuable and viable.
What would you like to see happen in the Adventist Church?
If I had a wish list, and I would say the Adventist Church set up a publishing company or a record label or some kind of label, label publisher. They support artists or musicians to create, or they fund or help fund artists or musicians to create their music, right? Now, there will be certain requirements. It's not about everybody who wants to be an artist and a singer comes. No. You have to have, just like you, when they ask you, you know, do you have good standing at your church? Are you Assembly of Adventists? Do you go to church? Are you sane? Parameters apply, right? I think you will have to be a trained musician or something, or have experience in music. And then they fund your project and you put it out. And maybe a percentage of the proceeds of that project goes back to the church for music, for more music evangelism, or to help other musicians or singers, etc., etc., etc. That's what I'd love to see. And if it's not, because I spoke to someone recently who is a director at AFCRO, and he was telling me, you know, it may not be a good idea for the church to maybe start their own entity. Maybe they can partner with someone like Code Group Music to do this, right? And we take care of all that stuff. We're part of the church. There's some kind of MOU or something like that. And then we help musicians in that way. So I would like to see some kind of formal structure for music in the church to help musicians and to support musicians better, because I don't know if it exists. I don't see it. Maybe I'm not aware. But I would just like more of a formal structure to aid and help musicians.
I can really see how that could like definitely help musicians, especially ones who are just coming up and who are very new in this space as well. Because like you said, it's mind-boggling, right? Like there's so much to deal with here. And if you're a musician starting up, you know, having somebody like yourself and your organization to help them through those initial stages can really save them a lot of time, save them a lot of money, yes, and keep them, yes, in the church, which is like what we want for our musicians.
And here's the thing. This is the best time to be a musician, because a lot of things, the actual cost is not that high. There's a lot of things that you can do at minimal cost. I think the biggest cost is the marketing side. This is still the best time to get your music out. There's never been a better time than now to get music out there. And we need to get music out there because our young people are listening to music that's coming in from all over, from all sources. And the messages in these songs are anti-Christian a lot of times, you know, and anti-God. We need to have music out there that our young people and just general folks in the church can listen to, right? It's really important.
Yeah, I see your heart is in this for our young people and for our people in the church. And I want to ask you, and before I let you go, what are you currently doing, or what are you planning in the next few months ahead that we should be looking for?
There's a lot going on. I'm working with a lot of clients, a lot of work to get done in the back end. But we do have some plans. We want to create a Seventh-day Adventist songbook with songs that have been written by Adventist songwriters. Because if you don't know, the hymnal that we use, the Seventh-day Adventist hymnal, has 695 hymns, of which only about 3% of those 695 hymns are songs written by Seventh-day Adventists. Now, that's not a bad thing, right? Those songs, the songs on the hymnal are phenomenal. I love them. I love the hymns. But the representation of Adventist songwriters is very, very minimal. So we want to put together something that we're at the early stages of that as well. We're also partnered with another company called CCLI, the Christian Copyright Licensing International. They're a global Christian organization that licenses music for churches, schools, and universities, Christian churches, schools, and universities worldwide. They license music for over 250,000 churches globally. So if you've written a song, a worship song or hymn or anything like that, we are a publisher with CCLI. We can get your song published and made available to those 250,000 churches worldwide, of which if they are singing your song, you will get a royalty. This is separate from the other part with CSAC, right? This is on the Christian side.
I'm really curious about the whole CCLI side of things as well, and I would love to get your hear more of your perspective on that. Could you tell me how that has been implemented in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and how it's been how has that been accepted by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and is that being widely practiced?
Has there been much adoption of that?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah, to some extent, it could be better, but CCLI has new technology now, which means that if you're using the CCLI system in your church, once you pull music from the system automatically reports to CCLI which songs have been used.
In the streaming? On the stream
no.
side? No.
So if you're having a service, right? And you're pulling songs from the CCLI database. The CCLI database can now report which songs you've used in that service.
I see. Okay. So CCLI, CCLI will give you all the songs that they have, like a list of all those.
Yeah.
And as you pull those up, you're using them in your worship services, and those automatically get reported.
Yeah,
I see.
Automatic report. However, you have to have the system. I think it's an online system, right? So the system allows you to show lyrics, chords, charts. So and once you're using it through the system, the system then automatically generates a report to CCLI to say, oh, this church, this Seventh-day Adventist church, blah, 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 used, you know, this song at this time on this day, blah, 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 and that will send the report, etc., automatically. But the church has to use the system in order for that to work. If they're not using the system, then they have to manually report to CCLI that these are the songs we used on Sabbath, so that CCLI can now pay out the songwriters. If that doesn't happen, the songwriters just won't get paid. It's because there's no reporting happening.
Talking about reporting, I understand that you're going to be giving a talk at Newbold soon, right? Could you tell us about what you'll be talking about there?
Yes, it's a conference of, I think it's the first of its kind, called Connected 25. And there's going to be a bunch of speakers talking about on different topics, more on the technological side or how we use technology for evangelism. So my talk is on music publishing, or utilizing music publishing for digital evangelism. And that's going to be on the 12th of October at Newbold. Tickets are available. You can just go to the Newbold website. And you can see information about that there if you're in the London area. I'm not sure if it's going to be streamed or anything like that. I'm going to be talking about music publishing and digital evangelism, which is a very exciting topic for me. So, yeah, that's what's happening on the 12th of October.
Awesome. Well, make sure to check out Keith's workshop on music publishing. It's going to be happening at Connect Conference at Newbold in England, London, England this year. So check that out. Also, check out his website. I'll drop the link below. It's got more info about their services. Thank you for listening to this episode of Adventist Music. It was produced by me, Khan Elmers, and a huge thanks to Keith for coming on to the show. We'd love to stay in touch with you on social media, so if you're a musician, tag us on your reels. We'd love to share them on Instagram. And give me a message on your socials too, I'd love to chat. Adventist Music is a podcast that highlights the unique stories of Adventist musicians. We are listener supported, you can give today and help us continue making these episodes for the community. Make sure you're listening in on the next episode of Adventist Music.